He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You may be seated.
But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." This is our text. You might have heard this bit of humor before in one way, shape, or form. But the story's told about a man who was walking home one night after dark, and he notices a neighbor boy on his hands and knees out beneath the streetlight, inching along as if he's looking for something. The man asked him, "Jimmy, have you lost something?" The boy's response in a whisper was, "Yes, I dropped the dollar my mom gave me for ice cream." Well, the man, feeling sorry for him, got down on his hands and knees and began to search around him. But before too long, it was apparent it was nowhere around. And so finally the man asked him, "Jimmy, you sure you dropped it right here?" The boy says, "No." Pointing over to a dark, vacant lot, he says, "I dropped it over there." "Why are you looking over here?" "Because it's dark over there." Dear friends, no matter how long little Jimmy looked, he was never going to find his dollar looking in the wrong place. Which brings us to the gospel lesson for this morning. On that first Easter morning, there wasn't joy that filled the hearts of the women as they made their way out. They went out to do a job. But no matter how hard they looked, they weren't looking in the right place. They were never going to find Jesus there. The ladies and all of Jesus' followers need to understand that they were expecting to find Jesus. If they were expecting to find Jesus lying in a tomb, that they would, pardon the pun, be dead wrong. In their grief, they had forgotten what Jesus had told them. He had told them, "I'm going up to Jerusalem, and there I'm going to be tried before the chief priests and the elders, and I'm going to be crucified, and on the third day I'm going to rise again." The angels remind him, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" As I thought about that, the more I began to think, I said, you know what, it's more, the better question would have been, "Why are you carrying that?" See, they went out there that morning to anoint the body of Jesus and to wrap him in the linen cloths with the spices and the aloes to prepare him in a Jewish way of burial. And we're not talking like a McCormick little handshaker where you just shake it over the body. We're talking pounds of the stuff. And they're laboring under the load to carry these spices out to anoint the body of Jesus. The women were carrying a real burden, which makes their worry about who would open the stone and roll it away that the tomb may be open to them, you begin to understand. But in reality, the burden that they were carrying was far greater than an armload of spices. It was a burden that was completely and utterly unnecessary. These women were filled with needless grief. They were overwhelmed by needless worry that Christ had been crucified. Their means of salvation had been snuffed out when Christ died upon the cross. And so, therefore, for them, there was no hope. And it was all meaningless. And so, since they had already, the Lord had already risen, the angels just simply asked the question, "Why?" Hello? I sometimes think it'd be helpful if angels would appear to me and say, "You know what, Pastor Bloom? Why are you carrying that burden? Why are you acting as if Jesus Christ is still in the tomb?" Have you ever felt that way? The burdens of life, you kind of begin to well up. And it's like we just need an angel to show up and say, "Yo, what are you doing? Why are you carrying that burden around? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah."
At times it's like we want to just hold on. I want to hold on to the grief. I want to hold on to the guilt. Because you know, we do still often live as though Jesus' tomb is still full. We deprive ourselves of the joy that Christ died to give. You know, there's times we just simply reject the fact that Christ is risen. Now, I know you don't blatantly and outwardly, but we do live like it, right? We live our lives as if, you know what, Christ died for me, but there's work that I need to have done in order to make sure and assure myself of eternal life. In doing so, I act as if Jesus' tomb is still full, that Christ is not risen. Or like the women, we struggle under the burden of our worries about things as though God expects us to handle things all on our own. Do you have a burden this morning that you carry? Stop acting like Christ is not risen. Start clinging to the fact that Christ is risen from the dead and there's hope. It doesn't matter what it is. Emotional, financial, family issues, it doesn't matter. Because Christ is risen, there is hope. But Jesus is not dead. His grave is empty. There's no reason to be looking for him there. And the angel's question to us is valid today. Why do you keep on doing it? Why do you look for the living among the dead? Let's not live life as though Christ is dead, for Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Now, it's been some time ago, but I came across the story of Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, who is an evangelist in his own right. And he was on a panel discussion that was dealing with that older movie, The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's movie that was kind of gory. And the question they were trying to bounce back and forth is, who's going to be held accountable? Who is guilty for the crucifixion of Jesus? And some felt that they had to be really careful or to become kind of an anti-Semitic thing. It's all the Jews' fault. Where others says, no, Gibson kind of portrayed it right. It's the Romans' fault. And they kind of bounce back and forth. And then they begin to talk about how Mel in the movie kind of laid it out very beautifully. And that hopefully people don't get it wrong. And finally, Franklin Graham raised his hand and said something to the effect, hey, what does it really matter? What does it really matter? Why are you making a big deal out of it, of who killed Jesus? He's not dead. See, many scholars and experts and skeptics argue that there's still a body in the grave. And like any great CSI TV show, you have to solve the crime. And so they begin to look for all the facts and all the evidence that's left behind. And the reality, Jesus is standing right in front of him and says, I've risen from the dead. Sir, don't bug us. This is a crime scene. Yo, I have risen from the dead. No one is guilty. But they decline it and choose not to accept it. That's what it looks like when you look for the living among the dead. But why should you and I know better? We all should know better, just as the women at the tomb should have known better. Jesus time and time again told his disciples, I'm going to rise from the dead on the third day. The tomb will be empty. But yet they went to the graveyard looking for Jesus. Kind of like looking for an ice cube in a furnace or a submarine in a Nebraska cornfield. It really doesn't matter. It's not going to be found there. Christ is risen from the dead. There is hope. See, that's what the angels reminded of them after asking them, why are you looking for Jesus here? They want to say, he is not here, he is risen. And then they said, remember how he told you I was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again. When Jesus said that, it wasn't just a prophecy, it was God's promise. But the problem is the disciples of Jesus and his followers quit listening after Jesus says, I'm going up to Jerusalem, I'm going to be tried, I'm going to be crucified. They quit. In fact, Peter rebuked him. Lord, this shall never happen to you. On the third day, I'm going to rise again. I hate to ruin it for you, but the real joy is found in the empty tomb on the third day. Do not look for me there. And God makes a promise, he keeps it. My dear friends in Christ, God has made all kinds of promises to you. He promised you through water and word that you would be transformed into a child of God. Has that taken place in your life? God promises in his word, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive them. Do you believe it? Or do you still act as if Christ is still in the grave, the promise is not fulfilled, and so therefore, no thank you, Pastor, I'll carry the weight of my own guilt upon my own shoulders. Oh, in a minute, we'll stand before the altar and we'll receive the very flesh and blood of the crucified Christ. And the promise he makes there is that, guess what? Your sins are forgiven. And I will strengthen your faith. God keeps his word, even when we don't. Have you ever been caught at work loafing? I hate to confess it, but there's a high back chair in my office, and sometimes in those later parts of the day, I don't know if it's just getting old or maybe I'm going to claim nepotism. I just fall asleep. It doesn't last very long, but I'm always a little embarrassed if someone comes in and says, well, Pastor, what are you doing sleeping? Well, I got tired. I give my word that I'm going to be faithful in my calling and prepare and always be ready to proclaim the gospel no matter what the situation is, and then I find myself sleeping. Have you ever been like that in your own life? You've been caught on the job not doing what you're supposed to do. And the boss asks you, what are you doing? About 900 years ago, before Jesus was risen from the grave, there was a prophet by the name of Elijah. He kind of found himself in the same situation. Many of the prophets of God had already been killed, and Elijah was discouraged, and so he decided to take matters into his own hands. He went to a distant land and went into a cave in the mountains and hid. The Lord found him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" His question contains a reminder for the prophet. Yo, Elijah, you are a prophet of God. You have a job to do. What are you doing here? In the middle of nowhere, simply waiting to die. That was the message of the angels to the women at the tomb. The word, why are you looking for the living among the dead? What are you doing here? You have an important job to do. On the way out to the tomb, they were filled with discouragement and despair. And when the angels finally told them that Christ had risen from the dead, when they left, they were filled with joy and overwhelmed. And where did they go? Just like the sheep, the shepherds outside of Bethlehem, when they heard that Christ had been born, they went in and began to tell the disciples, Christ has risen from the dead, just like he said. See, that's what the good news is. Christ's resurrection gives you and I reason to lift up our voices and proclaim the promise of eternal life through faith in him. You see what happens on that first Easter morning? It gives each and every one of us a reason to live. No matter what challenges you face today, it gives you hope. That Christ loved you for who you are, that he suffered and died upon a cross in your place, and that his victory over the death and the grave is your victory. So today we are not afraid of death and dying. We do not mourn the death of our loved ones as others mourn who have no hope. We rejoice because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We rise together.
May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We confess our faith. I believe.